The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, good morning and happy Easter. It is a wonderful day today. And today it's also a very funny day and a very coincidental day, because I had a prop I was supposed to use for today's children's message. It was paper Jesus. I printed a clip out, a picture of him, printed him out, laminated him, cut him, and if you keep an eye on our Facebook page, you're going to see the full version of today's children message. And in the video, you're going to see Jesus. I'm using him in every scene. So Thursday, I put down Jesus in my desk office. Thursday, Pastor Tim came to the office, said, "Hey, I'm leaving." And he saw my face be very scrunched up because the video was taking forever to load to our Facebook page. I distinctly remember putting Jesus on my desk. So Sunday morning, today, I go to my office, and Jesus, and this is a real story, Jesus is not there. I don't know where paper Jesus is. And I laughed for a good 2 minutes in my office because it is Easter Sunday, and Jesus is once again missing. Real Jesus is supposed to be in the tomb. He wasn't there. Paper Jesus is supposed to be in my office. I don't know where he is. So I don't have a prop, and I'm going to have to make do with what we got. So children, if you are listening to my voice, I need you to take your left hand again. And just like we did 2 weeks ago, our thumb is going to be Jesus. So if you can, put your thumb in the middle of your palm. So it looks like your hand is holding up the number 4. And then I want you to use the top fingers and close your thumb. So it's almost like you're making a fist, but your thumb is in the middle of it. And so this is how we left last children's sermon here. Jesus is dead, he's in the tomb, but who is going to raise him? And the answer to that, and this is the point where I pull out my prop, my paper Jesus, and tap my thumb and say, Jesus is going to raise Jesus. And that is the actual truth. Jesus raises Jesus. See, for the longest time in the history of the Israelites escaped Egypt, and God was a pillar of fire, and he would guide them throughout the day. And then at night, the pillar of fire would settle down randomly somewhere in the land, and it would be a pillar of smoke. And the Israelites would encamp around that pillar of smoke. And then, when they made it to the promised land, God, or the Spirit of God, went into the Ark of a Covenant. And so it was carried around. And then King David came into being, and King David wanted to build God a temple so he could rest. King David thought, "I have this wonderful palace. What does my God have? He has nothing. I'm going to build him a temple." But God said, "No, that's a great offer. You're not going to build me a temple, but it's going to be your son." So King Solomon, when he came into power, he built God this wonderful, beautiful temple. And God went inside the temple, and he went inside the courts, and inside the inner court, he went inside to a special place called the Holy of Holies. Inside there, once a year, there was a priest allowed to go in and make a sacrifice for all the sins of Israel. And that was the problem. Me and you, if we lived back then, we didn't get to see God as often as we do today. So God's plan all along was to always be with his people. And he wanted to be with us because he wanted to take us back to paradise with him. See, when Adam and Eve ate from the apple, or from the tree of life and knowledge, they brought the sin of curse, or they brought the curse of sin into our lives, and that separated us from God. So God, our Heavenly Father, needs a plan because he had lost us, his children. So he devises a plan to get closer and closer and closer. And if you look on the timeline of history between Israel and God, you see him getting closer and closer. First the fire, and then the ark, then the temple, and then the next step was for him to come down to earth. And he came down to earth through Jesus Christ. And if you were here, I would step aside and point to all our wonderful pictures that we have here in the back, our window-stained pictures at the altar. So Jesus is his Father incarnate. And this is very important because Jesus is not only God, but he takes on God's personality and he takes on God's love. And so whatever the Father desires, Jesus also desires. It's kind of like in the same way, if you're raised by your grandparents, sometimes your grandparent will say, hey, you look just like your dad. Or they're going to say, hey, you look just like your mom. Or sometimes some of you kids, you make faces, and your grandparents say, oh my God, that's your mom's face. Or, oh my God, that's your dad's face right there. In the same way, Jesus looks exactly like his Father, our God. So in that same way, Jesus takes on everything that God does. God doesn't like sin. God doesn't like injustice. God doesn't like to see his people hurt. And God doesn't like to see his people die. Jesus doesn't like any of those things. And so Jesus came down to earth. He died for our sins, and he was buried. And today, because Jesus is like God, Jesus rose himself up from the dead. And that's a wonderful and fantastic story, but what does that mean for us? That means that Jesus, now that he is here and he has come and gone, we too, because we are his followers, will one day, sadly, die. But just like Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus is going to raise us from the dead. Now, he may not go like Lazarus, where he comes to our tomb or goes onto our gravesite, knock on our coffin and say, get up. It may look differently. I don't know what it looks like, but St. Paul has some scriptures, and in the coming weeks, we'll read more about them. But I assure you that because Jesus died and because Jesus was resurrected, we, his followers, his children, will also die. But more importantly, we will also be resurrected. And when we resurrect, just like I tell the children in the learning garden, what do? Do we just hang out here on earth? No. In the book of John, Jesus tells his disciples, I'm building a mansion. This is my Father's house. Inside of my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not tell you. And then Jesus says, when I'm done building my rooms, I'm coming back to get you. So today, on this wonderful day, we continue to wait for the return of our King, Jesus Christ, who will come back one day, and he will take us to his Father's mansion, and then we finally get to be with God. God will finally get to be with us, his creation. So thank you for listening to me. There's a full version of this children's message. It's going to be posted on Facebook. Have a happy Easter. And today of all days, if you could do me one favor and hug your parents just a little bit tighter, and then a little bit closer, and if you can high-five your brother or sister and just let them know that, hey, we all love you. I really miss you kids, and I really wish you could come back. But due to circumstances outside of our nature, we cannot enjoy it in person together. But we can still enjoy Easter Sunday, and the mood doesn't have to put a damper on today's celebration. So, the resurrected King, he has risen indeed. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Four friends were in a deep discussion about death. And the first friend asked his other three friends, "When you die and you're laying there in your coffin and people are walking by paying their last respects, what do you want them to say?" Well, the second friend says, "I want them to say that she was a great physician. Through her skill and through her compassion, she was able to offer healing to many people." The third friend said, "I want them to say as they walk by that he was such a good father and a loving husband and a great educator who inspired a new generation for that love of knowledge and developing new leaders." And the fourth friend said, "As I'm laying there, and if somebody should happen to walk by to pay last respects, and they look in the coffin, what I want them to say is, 'Look, he's moving.'" It's not likely to happen. I've never heard anybody at a funeral say, "Look, he's moving." It just doesn't happen. Death seems to be so final. When someone dies, we grieve that loss. We miss that person. That person is no longer with us. But on this Easter morning, we celebrate that death does not have the final say. Death is not the end. There is more. We have hope. On this day, we celebrate that Christ overcame death. He conquered death. Death is no more. We know the time when death came into this world. God didn't create death. Rather, he gave people a choice. He gave them a freedom of choice to be able to think for themselves. Our first parents made the choice not to follow God, not to follow life, but rather they decided to make their own choice and follow themselves. And as a result, death came into this world. And we are responsible for that as well, too, because every time we say, "God, I don't need you. God, I'm going to go my own way. God, I'm going to make my own choices," we are choosing death. Death is in this world, and it seems as if during this time we are surrounded by death. We hear the facts and the figures every day. They are on the TV, the radio, and print, internet, of what's going on not only in our own county, own country, but across the world. We see the figures of how many people have contracted coronavirus and how many fatalities they have. And looking at those numbers, it may make us fearful. It may make us afraid to see that. And also, too, then, what the practices that we're doing of social distancing and of being away from each other. Like Nick mentioned, he was missing all the little kids that are usually here on Sunday morning or at the Learning Garden. I miss them, too. I miss the laughter and the joys and even sometimes the sad noises that come from the kids, because I know that is our future. I miss seeing all the people in the congregation. This is very strange for me, especially on an Easter Sunday morning, to be preaching to an empty congregation. It seems as if we are surrounded by death. But death does not have the final say. I'm sure the disciples, and particularly these two women who go to that grave on that first Easter morning, were saddened. They were shocked that Jesus was with them no longer. And you can imagine the surprise when they got there. And they saw that the stone had been rolled away and that there was an angel sitting on top with the glory of God. And he had a message to them saying that you've come looking for the dead, but the dead is not here. Jesus has risen from the dead. He is alive. Come and see. Come and see this place where it's empty. Death is empty. Christ emptied that when he came back to life. Jesus rose from the dead. When the two Marys witnessed this. Matthew records them as having fear and great joy. Notice he says fear and great joy. He doesn't say great fear and joy. He says fear and great joy. I think fear, there's several things going on here with this idea of fear. Our first reaction when we see something that surprises us, a lot of times, is simply fear. It is something new. It is something different. And so just a response is to have fear with that. But I think it's fear of a different level altogether, because they witnessed something that nobody expected. They witnessed something so powerful and so mighty that they knew that they were in the presence of God. There was no doubt. And to see that majesty, that power, those mighty works of raising Jesus from the dead will give you a sense of awe that there is no way we can touch this. There is no way we can come close to this. There is no way that I am in control, because only God can do something like that. They had fear. But it wasn't I'm afraid fear. It was a fear of jaw-dropping amazement that Jesus Christ is alive. The one that they had been following for several years. The one that they had pinned all their hopes to. It came true. He is alive. Christ is alive for us. This Christ rising from the dead gave them great joy. And they started running back to tell the other disciples, to tell those who had followed Christ that he is alive and that Jesus will meet them in Galilee. They had to go spread that good news. For us, as we live in this day and time, as we go through the midst of our daily lives, as we try to adjust ourselves to this pandemic that is going around, there seems to be a bit of fear. Not so much of that fear of jaw-dropping wonder, but that fear that I may get it, or that fear that if I get it, I may die. But we have no reason to fear death. We need to respect death, because death does seem so final for us. Death brings so much grief. Death is an ending. And so we respect it. We respect death like we would respect a rattlesnake. If you're walking down a path and 15 feet in front of you, you noticed a big rattlesnake there on your path, right where you're going to go. You're going to respect that snake. You're not going to go up to it and say, oh, what a cute little snake, and try to cuddle it and pet it. You're not going to ignore that snake and just walk on by, step over it. You respect that snake because you know the danger that it represents. You have several options of what to do. One option is just simply to turn around and run away and not continue your journey. Another option is to find a way around that snake so that you can continue on your journey. Another option is to try to scare that snake away so that the path is clear for you to go on to your journey. Or another option is try to eradicate that snake. For us today, living in the midst of this pandemic, there are smarter people than I who are working to eradicate this disease, or at least to vaccinate us, or find a way that humanity can be safe and go back to whatever was normal before. With death, there is no way that I can eradicate death. There's no way that I can get around it. There is no way that I'm going to make friends with death. Healthy people want to live. That's what God intended for us. God intended us to have life. It is only through this power of Jesus Christ, of Him dying on the cross, of erasing our sin, of taking that away from us, taking that sin off of our backs, taking that shame, taking that guilt, and dying, killing that sin, and then killing that death. Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and He gives us that very same promise. As He told Martha when Lazarus had died, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in Me will, even though they die, shall live. And those who live and believe in Me shall never die." God brings that message to us through Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead, bringing us that hope. This resurrection story is not just for the time of when we die, but it is a time for us now. It is a time for us as we live. Because no matter what this world throws at us, no matter the dangers, the troubles, the disease, the accidents, the sin that we generate, nothing can conquer Jesus Christ. The two Marys had fear and great joy. They saw that power of God, that power over death. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.